Hi, this is Jim Paoletti, Director of Education and Clinical Consultant for Power to Practice. I'd like to take a little time and talk to you today about clinical considerations with the administration of hormones topically. Topical application continues to gain more popularity among patients and practitioners as a convenient, practical, and effective method of delivery of bioidentical hormones. Topical administration allows for once or twice a day dosing in most patients with small volumes of cosmetically appealing bases. Some of the reasons for increasing popularity of topical: with oral administration of any estrogen, evidence strongly indicates that the oral estrogen therapy has more risk involved than topical application. Studies also demonstrate that oral estrogen therapy cannot provide the biological ratio of estradiol to estrone that normally exists. With oral testosterone is absorbed to a fairly good extent, but much of what is absorbed may be converted to estrogen by the first pass effect in the liver. This is more of a problem with the large amounts given to men, but topical or sublingual testosterone is usually preferred by most practitioners for both sexes. With the increased use of topical hormones, a thorough understanding of this method of delivery is critical to proper dosing and long-term clinically successful outcomes. Sex steroids are low molecular weight, highly lipophilic molecules, therefore are good candidates for absorption across the skin. Conventional patches, creams, and gels have all demonstrated good absorption of estradiol and testosterone. In a comparison of permeability of steroids, Johnson et al. Demonstrated that pregnenolone, progesterone, and estrone all had greater permeability than estradiol and testosterone. So all the hormones have been shown that they are good candidates for topical absorption. When the topical route of administration is employed for delivery, unique pharmacokinetic exists, different from any other dosage route or from hormones endogenously produced. An understanding of the parameters of delivery, storage, and metabolism of topically applied hormones is critical to obtaining symptom control at physiological levels of the hormones. One of the primary factors affecting the delivery of topically applied hormones is the vehicle base. When hormones are applied to the skin, they can concentrate in lipophilic tissues, including subdermal adipose tissue and the skin cement. The lipophilic tissues tend to store the lipophilic hormones and release them slowly to the lymphatic system, which in turn delivers the hormone slowly to the bloodstream, where the hormone is then very quickly delivered to tissues throughout the body. So the desired target for applied hormones needs to be considered when selecting the base vehicle. For delivery of any drug topically or transdermally, bases are often described with terms such as penetration rate, speed, depth, etc. Considering that all bases pass pretty much through the same tissues, and that the drug is released as the base travels through the tissue, what is important is obtaining the highest possible amount of drug at the desired target tissue, maximizing release of the drug at the desired target. If the desired target is the skin cement, for example, then a base which drives the drug through the skin quickly would not be a good choice for hitting the target. A penetrating transdermal base travels more quickly across the skin and will drive the majority of the hormone through the skin into the tissues below and into the bloodstream. This results in more quickly attaining higher systemic levels and effects of tissue receptors than with a non-penetrating topical cream base, as well as less of a chance of experiencing accumulation of hormones over time. However, because driving the hormone through the skin will not result in as much of the hormone being deposited in the skin cement depot sites, the effect of hormones will not be as long-lasting. Application of hormones with penetrating bases, which include alcohol-based gels, will require either more frequent application and or higher amounts of hormones to achieve an effect similar to that of a topical cream. Application of hormones in a topical cream will allow for more of the hormone to be delivered to the lipophilic skin cement, resulting in a longer depot effect. A significant difference with this dosage route using topical creams is that the full therapeutic effect of the dose may not be obtained initially. Many clinicians have shared with me in personal communications that they apply a higher dose of hormone initially and then decrease the dosage with time, usually after 3 or 4 weeks for progesterone and testosterone, maybe 7 to 10 days after estradiol or the other estrogens. Decreasing the maintenance dose will prevent accumulation of hormone and excessive systemic hormone levels. The effects of accumulation and excessive amount of any hormone very closely mimic the effects of a deficient of that hormone, so it's sometimes difficult to ascertain which condition is the true cause of symptoms. Does the patient have hot flashes because she has too much estrogen, or is it because she doesn't have enough estrogen? Applying hormones topically is most often a compromise between science, theory, and practical considerations. Practitioners need to consider where topical hormones are applied as to how that affects delivery. Rubbing the topical over an area of some adipose tissue helps obtain a depot effect and would allow for less frequent dosage. However, application over excessive adipose tissue would require a higher initial dose of hormone to achieve response and possibly more of a dosage adjustment later. The volume of the dose applied is another important consideration. The application over a larger area of skin would also provide more of a depot effect as a result of temporary storage in the greater area of contacted skin cement. Applying too large a volume is not convenient for patients and may result in poor compliance to instructions to rub it in well. If the patient doesn't rub it in well, there's a greater chance of transferring that hormone. A practical compromise would place the desired dose in a small volume of base, maybe 1/4 to 1/2 ml. Rotating the sites of application can help to prevent some of the side effects, such as local hair growth at the site of application of testosterone. It also helps prevent undue buildup of storage in one certain area, one arm or one leg, where you don't get the same effect if you apply elsewhere then. Each individual patient's body composition needs to be considered in deciding the optimal site of application. Most common sites for hormone applications are the insides, the forearms and upper arms, and the inside of the thighs. Topically applied hormones require the utilization of saliva or capillary blood for testing, as these are the only fluids which correlate well with the increase of hormone at the tissue receptor sites. Incorrect interpretation of serum or venous serum testing can result in overdosing of hormones topically. An example of overdosing as a result of using conventional serum venipuncture test results is seen with the use of topical testosterone in men. It makes no sense that doses corresponding to physiological production in both sexes for every hormone that are used, except for testosterone in males. Application of a 25 mg dose represents 4 to 5 times the amount the average male produces when they're young. The perception that superphysiological doses of testosterone are needed is based on the interpretation of venous serum levels with topical application. Venous blood is the sewer system of the body, taking away materials that the body does not need or want to the kidney or liver to be eliminated. We cannot measure oxygen in venous blood because it is inhaled through the lungs, delivered to the tissue and capillary blood, and metabolized. Similarly, with topical application hormones, we can deliver physiological amounts to the tissue, and there should not be any appreciable amount seen in the venous blood, which would be indicative of excessive amounts that the body needs to clear. High tissue levels of any hormone can cause downregulation of tissue receptors for that hormone, called taxophylaxis. This in turn often leads to increasing the dose to obtain the desired effect. In other words, too much hormone downregulates the receptors so the hormone won't work, the patient has symptoms of lack of hormone, and the practitioner will often increase the dose. With the larger doses of testosterone commonly used in males, eventual downregulation of receptors can occur to such an extent that the hormone no longer works and the patient has to discontinue use. Because of this downregulation effect caused by superphysiological doses of testosterone, some anti-aging experts now claim that topical testosterone, the same therapy they've used for years, does not work in males. Again, one has to question, why would all the other hormones work topically at physiological doses in both sexes, but not in the isolated case of topical testosterone in males? To be more precise, these claims should state that a superphysiological dose of topical testosterone, not measured in a method that reflects active hormone in tissues, does not work on a long-term basis. Hormones have very strong actions in the body, and accurate dosing is critical. Hormone creams and gels should be dispensed in a container that provides easy measurement and application. Jars should be avoided because of the possibility of contamination, faster degradation of the product upon repeated exposure to air, and inaccurate dosing provided by measurement spoons. Also, women usually remove the hormone from measuring spoons with their fingers, which can increase the risk of transference of hormone, especially from cream that remains under their fingernails. If a pump dispenser is used, testing should first be done to make sure an accurate dose is delivered from the first to the last pump. Patients also need to be consulted on proper use to avoid dispensing of a partial dose. Topicals can also be dispensed in topical syringes, which allow for proper dosing, and they decrease the risk of contamination and degradation. There are other viable options, such as the topical dispenser and other topical dispensers, which have been invented recently. These dispensers usually deliver a quarter of an ml or maybe even a tenth of an ml of the base with a turning mechanism on the dial located on the bottom of the device. Understanding the pharmacokinetics of topical administration and how variances in base selection, volume, and site of application, and even packaging affect the therapeutic outcomes can greatly enhance the ability of a practitioner to obtain maximum benefit from this therapy. It also allows greater flexibility in altering method of application and delivery for any individual to customize their therapy. By understanding how topical application hormones work in and beneath the skin, practitioners may be able to adjust application parameters to make a dose more effective. Alleviating symptoms without increasing the dose of hormones help obtain our goal in BHRT to resolve symptoms at the lowest physiological dose. So if you need help with this, there is a chapter on topical application hormones in my book, A Practitioner's Guide to Functional Bioidentical Hormone Balance. Work with your local compounding pharmacist. Hope this information helped you. Thank you very much.